What we as the committee emphasized and agreed on as the guiding principle of this committee in our last meeting in the last term. I state again, the oversight of public finances is one of the most important roles Parliament performs on behalf of our citizens and the taxpayers. As we pay our taxes, we all want to be confident that government spends the money properly and with proper regard to value for money. In fact, radical economic transformation is possible only when resources and expenditure of departments lead to the attainment of their set delivery targets. In the last parliamentary term, before preparations for the elections, we as a committee noted budget pressure indicated by departments during the hearings on the appropriation bill and the negative effect these pressures might have on the ability to attain medium-term strategic framework and the national department plan target. The committee is of the view that the principle of doing more with less should become the central ethos of parties. More with less should become the central ethos of departments, public entities, and importantly in the critical role that the National Treasury plays in the oversight of public finances. Today we will engage on the fourth quarter spending outcomes and on the first quarter 2016-17 financial year. The presentation will provide a breakdown of preliminary spending for all South African roads. We note that the total appropriation for national roads amounts to 721.1 billion or 55% to be allocated on national departments. We wish to have robust engagement on spending performance of the department and emerge with concrete proposals on how we ensure that all possible challenges are speedily addressed. The 9-point plan is progressing well so as to maintain our credit ratings and targets contained in the MTSF and NDPs will be attained. With these few words, I'd like to welcome all of you to this meeting, and I'm looking forward to a constructive engagement between ourselves. We will now move on to item number 2, which is apologies. Are there any apologies? Okay, there are no apologies. Well, seeing that I'm sitting here for the first time before National Treasury, maybe we should also allow space for introduction. I'm just consulting with members. Are you comfortable with that?
Yes.
introduction. Thank you very much. Shall we then introduce ourselves? I am commonly known as Pinky, but I'm Yvonne. That's my Christian name, Yvonne. I'm the chairperson, I'm the new chairperson, I'm looking forward to you empowering me and helping me, enabling me to do my activity and efficiency. Thank you. Okay, we start with all the politicians and then the staff members and then with the architect. Yes,
Good morning, everyone. My name is Doreen Senobanyane. I'm a member of the committee.
Thank you very much, honorable member.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Bongi Lemis and Manana. I'm a member of the committee.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Natasha Tawene, and I'm a member of this committee.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. My name is A.M. Sheikh Imam, a member of this committee.
And then who's the next honorable?
Good morning. I'm Daba Kabaza, member of committee.
My local member of the committee.
Thank you.
Colleague, my name is Malcolm Seagal. I'm a member of the committee.
Thank you, honorable member.
Good morning. I'm Alan McLaughlin. Also a member of the committee.
Thank you very much. Shall we move over to the department?
That's me.
Honorable.
Thank you, colleague chair. It's because I have been called by the chief, so I'll ask to be excused. Yes. Good morning, chairperson and colleagues and visitors. My name is Sheila Shopekitone. I'm a member of this committee.
Thank you very much. All right.
Shall we move over to the Department of National Service?
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Don Romahaj and I'm the Deputy in Public Finance
of the National Service. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Julie Bryan. I'm the Chief Director responsible for Education and Related Departments in the National Service.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good morning. My name is Audrey Thruitt and I look after Urban Development and Infrastructure.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Gillian Wilson. Chief Director responsible for Administrative Services in the National Service.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Randan Sanimitra Randera. I'm responsible for Security Department in the National Service.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Arnold Wilcox. I'm the Chief Director responsible for the Economic Services.
Thank you very much. Are we done? All right. All right, shall we then? I see the other people from the South, we know it. And recognize them accordingly.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Vanessa Keto, stakeholder liaison from Auditor
General. Auditor General, presented.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Mapula Skatan, parliamentary budget office.
Thank you.
I am
Jeff
Brenderman
from PNG.
PNG.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Now that you know who is here, I am really going to ask you to sit at home. Honorable member of us.
Thank you, President. I want to draw the attention of the House to the memorial service for Yunusin Alon. Which is going to take place at 4 o'clock with the old on the phone. If we could, just request that if we could try and finish by that time, so if there are those of us who would like to attend, we should do so.
Well, there's a letter that has been put before the committee. I know we've got two very important reports to receive this morning. It would be good that we, I know on humanitarian grounds, you would like us to attend the the memorial service. I think there are two demanding, very important demanding activities for the committee this morning. So can I identify the meeting on what would be the best interest of our case? Honorable Member Sheila Sode.
Thank you, Chair. I'm short. Yes, and I am just suggesting that we receive the report, both of them, and then the deliberations come after this, too.
There's a proposal on the table. We receive the report, and then we deliberate after the memorial says.
No.
Honourable Member, okay, Honourable Member Manana.
I'm sure that we need to receive the report, both of them, and we need to attend the memorial service. Ma'am Eunice was a member of this
committee. Yes.
So it's very important that we attend the memorial service. If we can try to be faster and quicker so that we really attend the memorial service. Yes, no, I agree with the colleagues, but I prefer to say that we have the presentations and then go and come back to court deliberation. What we must do, we must have both presentations and deliberate first and then go to the memorial service. Because at 14 hours, we are having a booking. So it will be proper for us to listen to the presentation, we note down the questions, and then after we deliberate on them.
Okay, Honourable Member.
Okay, just have a question. Could we be guided by the presenters how long the presentations are going to take and that might assist us in finalising the decision?
Okay, are you able to respond, sir?
Yes, Honourable Member. We can be quick. These are not long reports, especially the second one because it's only for the first court.
Okay.
And one doesn't expect them. Colleagues are here in terms of just going through quick because they know the issue, so we can go pretty fast.
Okay. Honourable Member,
thank you, sir. I just want to say that I think the chair did not hear me. I didn't say we must leave. I said we receive the report first and deliberate thereafter, not at 2 o'clock.
Thank you very much. Well, it does have the purpose that you proceed with the report and then deliberate and then try and move a little faster so that we can accommodate the question. Agreed? Fine. Okay. Shall we then proceed with the presentation by National Treasury? And I am informed that Ms. Pojane will do the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, members of the committee. Maybe let me recognize quickly, Chair, that you know we are honored to be presenting when you are chair for the first time on this committee, and we really hope we will work together as well for the rest of the period. I've got all of my colleagues who are chief directors responsible for various government sector departments, except Dr. Blesser, who is responsible for health. We cannot make it today because this is a health function group meeting. Now, the way we had planned, Chair, was, and it will be much quicker, I promise, I will just take you through the preliminary overview, and each of the chief directors responsible, moreover, that they are well familiar with each sector, they will quickly take you through various slides. And I will start with the first quarter, preliminary training outcomes for financial year 15-16. That is based on the budget review of 2015, last year's budget. Last year, when the Minister of Finance presented his budget, we had at the time indicated that the budget deficit was going to be 3.9%. However, the preliminary outcome, as we have it in front of us today, is that the deficit increased to around 4.2%. Meaning that the tax revenue collection was estimated at around 1 trillion rand, 1.070 trillion,
underspending was projected at 3.6 billion, which led to an underspending of about 1.115 trillion. And then the underspending also led to, or the lower tax revenue collected for the period under review also led to a borrowing requirement, increasing our borrowing requirements by about 1.69 billion. So bringing this deficit to about 4.2% in total. And as you correctly said, for this year we've got 721 voted revenues compared to about 706 some billion from last year. So there is an increase from 1516 to 1617 of about 20 billion of voted funds that should be looked at. Next slide two, which is slide four in the sheet. Again, we are being detailed enough in terms of our voter spend outcome. Department spent about 699 billion against the final budget of 706, which again, as I said earlier, showing an underspending of about 1% of the budget. A significant underspending on payment for capital assets of about 4.7% of final voted budget. Now, looking at various reasons of underspending, there are about four departments that I think should want to bring to the attention of the committee, COCTA being one. And this underspending mainly was due to withholding of the local government hospital sharing municipalities that have not surrendered unspent conditional grants that have not been approved for rollover. And later on, my colleague will also go into the details. Rural development, as you know, we basically work on projections on a model that estimates the kind of take-up on various grant types. In this case, there has been savings, meaning effectively budgeted or number targets budgeted for disability only in child support grants were not reached. Human settlement, there's underspending the Social Housing Regulation Authority, basic education, Jada will explain that, around underspending in the infrastructure program and also in the Karikude Inclusive Grant Program. And three departments overspend their budgets, mainly DECO, Parliament, and Correctional Services. DECO was for foreign exchange rate fluctuations. We must indicate to the committee that exchange rate has been fluctuating even beyond our estimates. We have given DECO about 700-800 million last year to actually compensate, but as a result, it was not enough to in terms of what we gave them. Parliament was spent mainly because of compensated employees, and a small amount in correctional services, about 121,000. Maybe let's ask Julia to quickly take us through basic things.
Thanks, DDG. In basic education, from the table, we'll see that there are two elements of underspending that total 490 million. The biggest part of that is from the school infrastructure backlog grant, which underspends by 423 million. And the committee will have heard these reasons before. Topically replacing underperforming contractors by some implementing agents and service providers. And then in the Eastern Cape province, schools that were targeted required some merging and rationalization, and they were delayed in that process. So it's similar reasons for all the quarters that have come and since this grant has been started. A smaller amount of 51.9 million from not running an annual national assistance in all the schools in 2015-16, and then a smaller amount from the EPWP Kharibudi incentive grant due to delays in finalizing the calculation of the full-time equivalent, which is what you need to hand over to DPW so that you can pay the incentive grant. So that's state education and health and social development. The DDD explained a bit on social development. Social development is based, the numbers of beneficiaries are based on a model that we have, that projection. So it's only at the end of the year that you know whether your model has been, how close your model is to reality. And the understanding on the disability grant of 733 million, on the old age grant of 645 million, and the child support grant of 369 million. In total, that came to around about close to 1.5 billion rand. As was said, the understanding on the disability and old age grant is a result of fewer than anticipated beneficiaries. And in the child support grant, SATA has also improved the efficiencies in processing the grant applications, and the turnaround time has decreased, so they used to spend quite a lot on back pay, and they're spending less on that now. In-house, the numbers are a lot smaller. 75 million on condoms due to delays in the procurement as a result of the department signing off on the design of the packaging at a very late stage due to complications from intellectual property right issues with the new Max brand, which delays the manufacturing process. 41 million underspending on the HPV vaccination campaign due to non-submission of claims by provinces to be reversed by the department. 15.4 million underspending on the development of hospital reimbursement mechanism project. And on this one, we're not clear what progress has been made, despite numerous requests for progress reports from the Department of Health. And then 18.9 million underspending on the demographic health survey. The work was started later than anticipated, as the department was looking for alternative donor funding to cover a shortfall from a donor who was through funding commitment at a late stage.
And then on urban development and infrastructure, the largest underspending was by the Department of Cooperative Governance, and this is largely related to Section 22 of the Division of Revenue Act, which allows to offset unspent conditional grants which municipalities have not surrendered back to the National Revenue Fund. We also have some significant underspending in the Department of Energy, and this is because a new delivery model was finalized late in the financial year and has resulted in underspending because of procurement delays. In the Department of Telecommunications and Post Services, we would have expected a lot bigger underspending, but we had shifted the money to help the post office pay for the national address system and to send it for dual elimination, which is related to us paying satellite space while we still provide analog signals for television. In the Department of Transport, on the Provincial Road Maintenance Grant, this is again a non-compliance with the Division of Revenue Act. We find it was held from President's province, and this was because the province wasn't filling in the infrastructure reporting model as required by legislation. And in human settlements, so there was quite a bit of underspending in the Social Housing Regulation Authority, and this was because of governance problems that emanated in 2014-15. So a new board and a new CEO was appointed quite late in the financial year, and as a result of all of those governance problems, a new project pipeline had to be rebuilt, which is why the allegations were also
in economic services, there was only underspending really that we were worried about in small business development. It was underspending of 2.5%, and that underspending was mainly because of the slow filling of posts. This is a fairly new department still that only established as a voting budget 2015, and in addition we also found more funding for it to provide extra capacity in the 2016 MTIF. So while there was some underspending, we're not, it's something that we would expect given that it is a fairly new vote, and we're obviously monitoring it going ahead to make sure that this doesn't occur again.
General Public Services, the slide gives us a summary of the underspending and overspending in this group. Let me start with presidency. The presidency underspent with about 9 million. That relates to traveling and accommodation costs. It's always difficult in a presidency to budget for or traveling costs. What they did is to implement certain measures to reduce the cost of traveling. The people traveling in from Qatar to Qatar was reduced the delegations, and that realized the savings of about 9 million, which is about 1.9% of your total expenditure. On Durko, they've overspent 133 million. The overspending relates to the exchange risk, the rand that was getting higher than what was before. The loss was much higher than the 133 million.
but the department also realized savings, which is used to the overspending. In National Treasury, the underspending relates to the job fund. There was a delay in disbursement to projects due to job targets not being met. And that relates to the economic condition and the drought, and through that they couldn't achieve the job targets. $60 million of that amount was squeezed as a rollover. A small amount in the National Treasury also relates to amount withheld from municipalities due to non-compliance with the DORA and NDPG framework. In public works, there was more underspending. This year, it is very much smaller than the previous years. It relates to vacant positions not being filled. There was a delay in a vacant positions not being filled. And then on the SAT SA, there was an underspending. It relates to the construction of the new building. The delay is mainly due to the NUMSA nationwide strike, which affected the metal and steel workers and led to the reprocessation of the construction work. And that month was requested as a rollover.
Moving to the second block. In there was the six votes. That almost spent all their budget with the exception of few. Correctional services overspent by 121,000, mainly due to nutritional services, that's under housing services. And then I will go to IPD. On the graph you won't see it because the budget dropped more, but they have underspent mainly due to vacant pools. I think it was around 10.6%. We also have justice and criminal development, which underspent by 38 million. Mainly due to the transmission of invoice for office accommodation and computer services by public works and state respectively. Defense underspent by almost 17 million, mainly due to delays in finalizing the procurement process for the mobility packages utilized in the border environment. And then lastly, we've got the Office of the Chief Justice, OCJ, which is the new department, which are underspent by almost 16 million, mainly due to vacant posts and outstanding invoices. Those are just for the judges. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Chair. That leads us to spending, preliminary spending, the end of the final spending section. But what I'm underlining and what I think we want to bring to the attention of the committee is that we are comfortable if departments are underspending as it relates to vacant positions. I will inform the committee as to why we think we will welcome that. Because if you remember, in this year's budget, 16, 17, 18, we had indicated that in covering for the shortfall as a result of the 0% fee increases, we had to, part of the savings was from future budgets allocated to personnel, where we said departments, we must cut by an amount of 10 and 16 billion in 17, 18, 19. So if they are not healing, meaning the pressure that we have experienced in 17, 18, and 18, 19 will be much lesser. So we are not very worried. But in any way, next year's budget, the current budget closures that we are engaged in, they have to look for savings worth 10 and 15 billion. And then they've got numbers per department that the targets that they must reach. So as a result, the understanding around personnel is something that I think we welcome for now, at least when budgets are tight and are going to be tight moving forward. What, however, and we have said this to the committee in the past, that if it's spending in relation to service delivery, non-building of schools, our city programs not doing, we are pretty concerned and very worried. And we want to bring that to the attention of the committee that in each of the detailed sections that we've got, at least outlined in this presentation, so we want to bring it to the attention of the committee. And when something meets and needs arises, we'll make ourselves available together with GPME and the relevant department to engage on what is essentially underspending or non-spending of service delivery projects as reflected in the preliminary numbers. These are preliminary because they are still subject to audit, and I'm happy that the general is here. They have only become final when they have been audited and the audit outcomes are made available, and that normally happens towards the end of August. Yes, towards the end of August. So currently they are still preliminary. They will change. If they have to change, it will be very small changes. I don't know if I have to continue with the second part of the presentation or if members would like to engage on the first quarter. I mean, that's...
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you for the presentation. I just want to express my personal concern that although yourself may be very happy with late filling of vacancies or cut on vacancies, I'm worried. Because one of our biggest problems as a country is unemployment. And I think we should actually start looking at dealing seriously with that. The other thing is that I don't like understanding. And then we call it saving. You know, my understanding is that we need to have the economy. We need to have economic growth. But if government is not spending, you know today that the private sector is not spending. People are just investing. How do we on earth expect will actually assist the economic growth of this country? Thank you, sir.
Honourable member, yes, honourable member,
thank you. My concern is similar to honourable Chopin's colleague. I think sometimes, I know, we have these nice words that we use, like saving and underspending, but we're in fact, in my view, and maybe we need to look at it when we do more oversight.
Yeah.
I not for one say, or maybe I'm implying, that what we see here is information and figures that we need to verify. Because it's easy to put figures and reasons and excuses on a piece of paper without verifying it. And I'm concerned about that because we get departments, and in this case we get Treasury, that come to give their opinion. And obviously, it's important that the Appropriations Committee needs to take it further. I think that's what I believe should happen. Because when you look, and the longer you're here, when you look at the information that is given and the reasons given for underspending and for overspending, you find that there seems to be a trend. It seems to be very similar to the previous year. So I'm concerned that we get the reports just to comply with Parliament. And I really do have, I have concern about that. For example, if you look at one of the things, and I'll go to the side, last year we spoke about underspending in the health sector, and I remember this for obvious reasons. That time, the reason given was underspending on condoms, and that the reason given was that certain people didn't want to use certain condoms. They were flavored and versus unflavored. That was the reason given. Now we have another excuse that's given, that there's been an underspending in our department because of some intellectual property reasons. I find sometimes, and I'm serious about this, because we come here week in, week out, and we get reasons, sometimes they're frivolous.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's frustrating. The latest giving us the information that we get from the department. So I really think that we need to spend some time at these departments verifying the information that is given. So even we get information of underspending and overspending, but we also not given what the outcome. In other words, the actual spending versus actual outcome. In other words, departments have spent 97%, for example, of their budget, but we also need to know what was the outcome. In other words, what was the outcome that was achieved in terms of the SDG? So we really need to look at that share. It's becoming problematic because then you get information out there. So we talk about this saving of 10 billion and a saving of 15 billion.
Oh.
Now again, it's not a saving. It's an extended ceiling that the minister instructed all the departments. In other words, they had to include in the budget 15 billion and 10 billion less. Not given a budget of an amount that they need to spend, and thereafter try and save all their budget 10 billion. That's what it seems as though the instruction has been given. So we need to just make sure that we compare and make sure that we're talking about the same thing. So that's as far. If I go to slide here, and I'm not going to spend too much of time, if we look at slide number, example slide number four, it's basically what I've been thinking about. If you look at the last bullet point there, they talk about the significant understanding and dangers of capital assets. That is criminal when you understand a capital asset, because capital assets has a number of functions. Spending on capital assets is job creation, of amongst other things. So if we're underspending there, and what you find in all these reasons and all the departments is that there's a reason, and then we are not too concerned. And especially I say that. But we should be concerned when there's underspending.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the point, because especially when you get to capital assets and infrastructure, if you look at basic education, I mean, we know that our education has been in such a poor state, and we still have time to understand in school infrastructure. So I think here we are in, if you look at our spending, we need to start making important decisions, especially now that we are in the early phases of the new budget. And that's why I believe the Appropriation Committee, maybe we should really look at the role that we play in terms of not fulfilling the same role as SCOPA. When we look at problems that we cannot rectify, we're going to receive a first quarter report, and maybe we should look at our first quarter report and see, identify problems now, and not sit there and say, okay, well, we expect a better report for the second quarter, because anybody can produce a good report. But what is actually happening out there, I think that is the reality that we need to look at.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your intervention. But as a reminder, can we please try and be short to the point? Remember, we have time constraints. Thank you so much. Honorable Member Doe, to be followed by Honorable Member Shaikh Emma and Honorable Member Manana. Honorable Member. Remember, still learning, yeah, Sinokwanya. Yes. Thank you very much. In that order?
Thank you, Chair. I fully agree with Dr. Fitch, because in the past, I questioned, say, on numerous occasions, the role of how we conduct our business as the Appropriation Committee. And what do we want to achieve out of this meeting? Because we come here, we come and interrogate a question, and we never go down to the ground and see is that the true reflection of what is happening on the ground. For me, I take it for this meeting as such, because there are a number of questions that I have in the presentation, but I can't pose it to the National Treasurer. They won't be able to answer it. So then it's a waste. So I have an idea, and I posed this idea several times, whereby when we have National Treasury, we have one representative of the Auditor General here, and we have a representative of a department here. Because now we have seven individuals from National Treasury that won't be able to help us much on the questions that we are posing to them, what's happening in these departments. So I really think that going forward, we really need to revisit how we conduct our business as our Appropriations Committee, not just do things by the sake of doing things. I think I have one or two on the presentation, and then the rest I will have to withhold for the department when it gets here, because there are several questions that we have posed also to them. I remember as well the condom saga. It was the minister himself told us that day specifically in the meeting that they couldn't sign off on the conduct because of the flavor survey that they have conducted. Some people like flavor condoms more than the others. So then this report is telling us a whole different story. So in several cases in this report, you know, you get different messages and different answers. Question. So I really think going forward, we as a committee need to really revisit how we do conduct our business. On slide 2, I think, which is your page 4, And I think it runs throughout the presentation where you have put percentages. I would like to have, like, can you also put for me the amount? Because you are saying, I think on page 4, slide 2, underspend was 1%. So can we convert that 1% into an amount? Because I would like to see if it is amount that I'm getting. So I don't want to get an amount that is not from your side. So if you can convert all of the way you have put percentages, convert that for me into real amount. Yeah, I think for now that was the only concern for me, because really I can't ask them much, because I really would like to pose this question to the department itself and see what answers they are coming out from. For me, I take this meeting really as a waste of time, a waste of resources, because the report could have been sent and we would have still come out to the same questions that we are having. So as a committee, I, going forward, we need to revisit how we do things. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, just an intervention. Honorable Law, the department had to do just to give us this report, and these reports are preliminary reports to assist us to prepare better for those, for our further engagement with those departments. So as we engage and interrogate this briefing, I request that we try and come up with concrete proposals on how do we think some of the issues that are raised by the National Treasury can be addressed. So it gives us, to me, an added advantage that by the time we meet the department, we shall have got clarity from the National Treasury itself. And there is an obligation for the Department of Treasury to bring this report to us. So thank you very much. So let's make full use of this opportunity. Let's engage, get clarity seeking questions, and prepare for those departments. After this, we're going to call this department one by one. And at least we shall have been prepared, and we will be able to move from an informed position. So, okay, fine. Over to the next, Honorable Sheikh Imam.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Treasury, for that presentation. It does gear for our engagements with the relevant department. My first thing is, if you could just tell us the impact of this 13.9 billion deficit, where it's going to come from and what you believe is going to be the impact on the economy based on the fact that we have a very high expected deficit. The second thing is on these job funds, which is underspent, and my concern is sort of creating jobs, and if we're underspending, should we be worried about that? If you could just give us some information. With regards to TECO or overspending on 133 because of the exchange rate, now, once the exchange rate becomes more favorable, are you saying that at some stage maybe that will reduce? Or maybe at some stage in the future that even though we need budget, they may spend less for the budgeting on what your current exchange rates are and things like that. With regards to health, my concern, especially with the contrast, I know at one stage they told us that they could not get supply, there was not enough people to manufacture, that was a problem. So I don't know. With regards to understanding, for me, we're always going to have some sort of understanding, and we can't run away from that. What is important for me is to identify don't repeat offenders. And if you can give us some information, that will help us when we meet with different departments as to who are these departments that are repeatedly understanding, and break it down right to the ground and where it is, so that we can ensure that there is some compliance and consequences for those people who don't actually perform. So I think, if you can just give us some of that information, for me it will... my final argument, Chair, here is that, we concentrate mainly on the money issue, on the financial aspects of it. And sometimes, you'll call basic education, they'll underspend, they will spend and things, and maybe it's something we need to do with. What major role can we play when we go out is to take basic education example, even with communities, to be able to engage and look at what is really happening on the ground. And not just restrict ourselves to just the financial aspect of our oversight. I'll stop there.
Thank you very much for your intervention. Over to Honorable Lupanyana.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Maybe I would like to start by actually aligning myself with what the Honorable Law was saying about the fact that we've got the reports, and the reports are really wrong.
from the department. I would have liked to see an element of treasury saying this is what they're saying, but we as treasury, this is how we feel about this. Because my question would be, are you happy with the reasons that they're giving for everything? There are certain things of quite a lot of things. For instance, I'll make an example of the food infrastructure backlog grant, which is underspent. You know, that is one area where we've got very, very serious challenges of school infrastructure with all the funding that we can get. And if we underspend on that, I have a very serious problem. And then maybe the other thing that has already been addressed, the issue of vacant posts. The issue of vacant posts, that the department are giving different reasons why the posts are vacant, but is it because of an instruction from treasury that they must save on posts? Because I know in some provinces they were told not to save in posts. But if they understand, then there is a problem, because then if there is money, why not use that money to fill posts? Because if I was treasurer, maybe I would ask those questions. If you do have the funds, will you ask not to spend the money? But of course, most of these questions would need to be answered by the department themselves. But I think treasurer should also give us something to say. In as much as they say this, this is how we feel about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think you have covered me to clarify the importance of this particular report from Treasury, because it really prepares us, you know, when the department presents the report, because we will be calling, as we are indicating. But what I want to also, because I also wanted the comments of Treasury to say that they have been given reasons. Are they happy with the reasons? I'm saying this because in one of the reasons that they are saying, infrastructure spending on schools, they said their problem was difficulty in replacing underperformance. You know, you need to uncheck that one. What was the difficulty if they don't perform? What was the difficulty in spending them? You know, something of that sort, maybe. So that when we go to the departments, we know exactly what was the difficulty around the particular replacing of them. The other thing that the treasurer is saying, they talk about savings on social grants. I don't know, because there is a difference between savings and understanding to me. Savings, you fulfill the target that you are supposed to perform. And then you have got a difference, you know, the money that you can say it's a saving. But if you did not perform that particular target that you have set yourself, you can't call it a saving. It's under expenditure, saving to fulfill your task or your responsibility. Maybe if they can also unpack to us to say that what is the meaning of savings, when they say the department has savings on it. And also we want to congratulate those departments or offices that have taken a call for cost containment measures. I see the presidency, in the presidency they said they cut down the traveling costs and so on. Because our concern is when you cut down on the actual service delivery, like the infrastructure. But if they cut on the traveling and so on, and I echo the sentiments of the colleagues to say that cutting on the job creation to us, it doesn't work well as politicians, because the country is having a challenge around the issue of unemployment that is very high. Because now if we are saying that we are saving, do you mean to say that you created the organogram and the post that you really don't need? You know, it poses those questions, because if you create the post, it's because you need it to perform. Thank you.
I think that we have mentioned the obvious, that the National Treasury provides us with this information on the spending of all departments, and our task is to then follow up and conduct oversight over the departments themselves, especially those that are either underspending or overspending. Including the underspending due to cost containment measures, we must be able to get that detail, as Honorable Marshall can say. We shouldn't just overlook that and say, well, that has been achieved. We must get that detail. For instance, of how many funded posts have not been filled, whether they were not critical or critical, and how is the department DSS doing without some of the critical posts, etc. and so on. What it cannot condone from any department is this kind of spending on capital assets, as other members have said. What we cannot condone is the underspending on infrastructure. What we cannot condone is underspending on job creation. And speaking about that, the explanation that we must get from the National Treasury specifically is the underspending on the job fund. And I think that is the fundamental question we must answer. The other questions that are arising must be answered specifically by the relevant department. I think that it is sufficient that National Treasury has given us the reasons why this department or that department is either underspent or overspent. We must then dig into the details when we engage with the department. Remember, we said when we meet this department, we must also call in DPME so that DPME tells us a story which can be collaborated by the relevant department or my advice letter, so that our oversight is meaningful. So that's something that I think we must emphasize. And I must emphasize that this information sharing with the National Treasury is absolutely important. We can't do without. In fact, they are the first to come to us before we can even go to any department. The one clarity that I think from National Treasury is on slide 3. The last bullet, where you are talking of tax revenue collection and so on. If you could clarify, I'm a bit confused, because my understanding was that it was the first time we collected tax over 1 trillion rand last year for the 2016-17 budget, if I understand correctly, unless I'm confused. And therefore, that information would have been relevant to the first, second, third, and fourth quarter of the 2017 financial year. But you are referring to the 2016 financial year, and you are including that collection of tax and whatever else has happened. So clarify that to me, so that we understand which budget, which tax collection we are referring to when you quote the over 1 trillion rand tax collection that happened last year. Yes, I think that my emphasis is on us using this intercept information to conduct fair oversight on the different departments. But I'm saying National Treasury must explain the cost fund thing themselves, because they've overspent. I understand the municipalities, because that amounts to withheld funds due to the non-compliance of the municipalities themselves. Maybe what they can do today is to explain how far have they gone with correcting that
with the municipality. Thank you.
Thank you so much for all the issues that you have raised, and we still aren't coming. Okay, so honourable member Loki will come in, and I think he'll be the last one so that we can make progress.
Thank you, John. I'll be brief. We covered mainly what my colleagues have said, so it doesn't be repeating. I just had an idea in my mind that I presume when Treasury prepares this report, they question the department themselves, get explanations from the department as to why the situation is what you report to us. Now the departments come here and we're going to ask them the same questions. So we're almost duplicating here what Treasury has done already. Isn't there some way we could short circuit that? We get these reports to help us prepare to ask the departments the questions, but the questions we ask the departments of what Treasury has asked them already, we give the answers that end here. Now we need the explanations for those answers. I just feel that there is some kind of duplication here. Maybe we could short circuit that somehow. It's just a question I have. Is that possible? And then I also just have a question on, for clarity on slide number 3. It indicates tax revenue collection was 1.070 trillion. The estimate was 1.0697 trillion. So we collected more than we estimated. And yet in the fourth bullet point, it says lower tax revenue and underspending led to borrowing requirements. Is it lower tax revenue when we collected more than we estimated? I don't follow the reasoning, and there's some misunderstanding what we're being told. Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you for your intervention. I think the question of the department coming to brief us has come up sharply. But also, honourable members, I'm sure you will remember that in terms of Section 32 of the TFMA, the department has to give us this report. And coming here, it gives us an opportunity to get clarity, seeking questions from them. And from there, we take this information, and then we go to... Actually, this information is also going to assist us to identify those departments that need our immediate attention. So, indeed, we appreciate the briefing, except that also what came up is, in your report, you give us the status quo, but you do not give us the impact. What impact, you know, that you know, whatever differences you have observed, is made, and the gaps that are there, you're not giving us, but also you're not giving us what you think should be the corrective measure moving forward, so that we are so empowered that we use that information when we need to then with the department. So I think that what is the impact, yes, this is the status quo, the impact, but also the members were concerned about the issue that you raised, say that you are happy that the saving on the internet. As this country will come to your head, there's nothing to be happy about, because remember, if you've got a start plan, you also have got to have the funnel to implement the start plan. Now, if you say you're happy that people have not been employed, you then say already to rest people a disaster for failure, because we will have a start plan that has been passed and the budget allocated, there will be no people to implement. So I thought I should just respond to that, because it also came up sharply from the member. We will then hand over to you, sir, to respond to all the clarity-seeking questions.
Thank you very much, Chair. Maybe let me start by saying the reason we brought all the chief directors is just that the committee is different in the past. That whenever we appear here, we must bring relevant officials to the honor. So that again, we'll get directed on the committee wishes that we must be selective in terms of who we bring. But, Chair, maybe my colleagues will take on some of the questions that are relevant for the various sectors. Let me explain and with due respect push back the issue around personnel budget and what I meant, and maybe explain. I will link my response to the current year budget, because it has got huge impact. The Appropriation Committee or Parliament, don't put it like this, Parliament appropriated, and I'm not going to call it a saving, let me call it, reduced budget of personnel by 10 and 15 billion. Meaning, government, in its plan that
Parliament signed off on and approved in an appropriation act of this current budget was that you will cut your personal budget by 25 billion in order to be able to address other priority needs in government. And then I'm saying, Chair, that because if effectively mean, by saying you reduce your personal budget, you effectively mean you have to cut personnel numbers. There's no other way. Over and above attrition, and that's what the departments are struggling with currently in this new budget that is started. They have to cut numbers, meaning people are going just to lose jobs. In defense, we've got about the 7,000 number that is, what that is. In trade, that is about 107 positions or so, 117 positions. Each department has got an allocation to be able to address the 10 and the 15 billion to cut. Now, you know what I'm saying? We welcome that at least in the treasurer was not able, as an example, to fill certain positions because they were going to cut it in any way in next year's budget and the year up. So it's in the context. And I'm not saying we applaud and welcome the fact that we are not employing the own, but the reality is that there are squeezes in terms of expenditure limits that we have, that covering that Parliament has voted on, and then we have to remain within. Because I don't think it would be appropriate to come back to Parliament later day. We're not able to cut 25 billion rand of expenditure because, and then we are in huge deficit. And the same question that members are asking is going to be more problematic. Currently, we've got a small deficit of less than 1% that we've exceeded in terms of what our estimates are. So I just want to make sure that I know it's not a very palatable thing to say, but the reality that we have voted 25 billion in cutting spending, or personal spending. Now let me just quickly go to Honorable Shoffrey Foley and the question that she raised around underspending and saving. That, and if it's underspending and saving on the service delivery programs, then certainly we have a problem, and then it doesn't work out well even for us. And by the way, shall we interact with departments on an ongoing basis in various budget bilateral, and we ask them the question. So if Honorable should say these are opinions, they are not necessarily national treasurer opinions of what you think, is what is. These numbers are kind of preliminary outcomes, they are there, the reasons are there, these are the reasons that we gathered from the departments in our various engagements with them. So reality is that, we are not putting our own opinions, but we are ever relate to the committee what the departments have indicated to us in our own engagement. We should be concerned when there's underpending, and we share that sentiment. Now, Honorable Lowe mentioned a few, yes, I guess the committee did indicate before that it is proper for the department to be coming. And as I said in my opening remarks, that we would be more than welcome to be invited by the committee when the department is there to actually explain further or to actually be part of the committee, because our role as the treasurer, and I explained this in the last meeting, our role as a treasurer, as the division called public finance, our division, we oversee the whole of government. If you want to conceive our system or structure as such, we can literally remove ourselves completely out of the national treasury, because we also oversee the national treasury. We, in our budget, are not around with the national treasury, call the DG of the national treasury and the CFO and question them on their program, including their own program, which is the job fund program. So we would explain Gillian here, because she's the program officer for the treasury, and she's the program manager, budget analyst responsible for treasury. So she'll explain what treasury advanced as reasons why there's underpinning in the job fund. But see ourselves as your partners in empowering you with knowledge and information. And let that distinction be clear, that we might come here as being from the national treasury, but we are part of a division in the treasury that questions even national treasury spending, including 40 departments and hundreds of entities across. So that's where we are located, and we are very, it's sometimes a bit confusing in terms of our role here today and what we are all about, because we also come to empower the committee to the best of our ability. Now, Honorable Chairman raised a question about the impact on the 13.9 billion deficit. I think deficit targets, as I said, are set every year. A budget deficit as a percentage of total, as a percentage of GDP. These are estimates that we publish in our budget review.
And we have said that will be about 3.9% of total revenue. Because remember, deficit is simply what you collect versus what you spend. Now, if what you collect is less than what you spend, already you've got a deficit. And that's why we budget for a deficit. And we've been doing that for over a number of years now, since 2009, when the financial global crisis. Before then, if you remember, we were at 24% of GDP in terms of our debt to GDP ratio. Now, by decreasing simply means you have to grow more to actually be able to spend. And so the 13.9 deficit is an addition by, if you take, what a difference, 4.2 and 3.9% of total. So that's where we say we have exceeded our deficit by about 13.9 billion. Gillian will talk honorable members why job fund is understanding, including DECO and then the reasons that she will advance later. You are correct because this is raw information from the department that I had and And he budgets for 100 kids times the number, amount of whatever, 300% or something for per grant per child. If 90 kids come through and register and take up this grant, it means you have saved or you or money not spent is worth 10. It's not saving, no, it's understanding. So reality is that the Department of Social Development, the question that you should then ask them, did you go and advertise, did you go and reach these children in rural areas, the 10, the difference that you could meet? Did you meet them? Did you dig them out in a way that says, look for them, register them, get them ID? Because if they can prove that they did that, in our books it amounts as money not spent, and it amounts to saving. And we are saying to address or remain within budget deficits. Because every year, we have earlier from, I think, from Honorable Sigaman, but you see, it's not, we cannot not understand. The understanding has always been there, and we've got a pattern of understanding over the years, and we built in that pattern of understanding in our deficit that you're going to attain in order for us to remain, and we've been doing that for the last 20 or so years in the way spending comes to savings and people towards the end of the financial year. So if you check before, there's always been understanding, but we've always said we are worried it's understanding because of capital programs or infrastructure programs because it means you are not pushing connectivity and as a result then there's no growth. So that remains a concern for us. The organogram, department will go to GPSA and get their approved organogram and that organogram is funded. But what we did last year, and I'm just trying to address Honorable Madoka's issue around the post and the organogram, that we came to Parliament in January and we said department will reduce the same point that I made earlier on, by 25 billion, meaning some posts that are funded have to be cut, unfortunately. And that's the conundrum that we find ourselves in vis-a-vis trying to make sure that other government programs, in this case, fees for higher education and other same pleasures are set in a way that we try to move around money to address them. Now, Honorable Bavada did raise an important issue. I rested around capital spending and the importance of infrastructure spending. And then Gillian, as I said, will address the issue of job fund. I think I'll come back again. If Greek wants to come in specific, maybe Julia, you can start.
Thank you for your responses. Just a reminder, we're running out of time. Remember, at about 12, we have to go to the memorial service. So if in your response you can be short and to the point, we'll appreciate it.
Okay, Chair, just on the underperforming contractors in the CD program, from what I understand from the department, if you have a contractor and you have a problem with them and you say, well, we're going to get rid of you now, The first thing they do is they say, we've got the contract and we take it to court. And then you're tied up in the court. So while tied up in the court, you can't take their money and give it to another contract. So that's where some of the delays in getting rid of underperformance come in. But I mean, as I said, you'll see, I'll say later, from 2011, we've been asking the same questions of the department. We've offered them assistance. We've offered assistance in the provinces. And still, the spending on a CD is not as good as it should be.
Thank you. Honorable members who addressed the question on the jobs fund, I think it's important to put the underspending in relation to the impact of the jobs fund today and what they have achieved in terms of the targets. So I think just to give a small indication of what it achieved to date, so the jobs fund disbursed $3.3 billion to date, and the target was $3.9 billion, which is about 85% of the target. In terms of the matching fund from the private sector, they have gained $4.7 billion in relation to the $4.9 billion targeted, which gives you a percentage of 97%. Also in terms of permanent jobs created, the target was 78,000, they've reached 76,000, which is 98% of the target. So I think it's important to put the underspending in relation to the total amount that was disbursed and the target that was achieved in the jobs fund. So in the new year, the disbursements will go up to about 11 billion. It's now on 8 billion. So I think it's a huge project and must have achieved in terms of impact to date.
Thank you, sir. We can continue, but I will the impact on the issues that you raised, and I think that's where our role over the years has continuously, eroded in our responsibility towards the PME, because they will look at annual performance plans. We will interact with them in terms of the financial indicators and the numbers and the impact, and they are mainly. So I'm not saying it's not our responsibility, but continuously talk. But I guess, as I said, it's sometimes easier when they are with us to say, we'll look at the numbers, we'll look at the impact, that you does make a difference, the difference on the ground. But again, we can make sure that, and I would suggest, only recommend to the committee that every time we are called, that we call together with CPME and not on our own. And that would be a request.
Let me just suggest that we will work out a proposal. Let's not belabor the point on the phasing, because there are certain things that I think we need to highlight. But we will work on that. Let's not waste time on that. I just want to withdraw taking further that issue of things, because I think there's another way of dealing with it.
Thank you very much. Going on to the next report about the first quarter, main budget revenue is estimated at 1.324 trillion for this current financial year. We're projecting to spend a little bit more than that by about 189 billion. Now, the same point I made earlier, the deficit there is essentially your money that will be borrowed. We budgeted for it. It's a peak of 150 billion per year. and then we will obviously have to fund it one way or the other. So we're not really worried if we show a deficit at the beginning because we've budgeted for it. Now, in terms of available budget, we thought as a start, maybe as we start this new year, that we should show you the percentage of budgets and what's available and for what, how much it was. And this is all voted funds, as I indicated. The available budget, 29% is for current payments, and transfers and subsidies, about 68%. Payments, capital assets is like 1%. 2%, and payment for financial assets is 1%. Same presented differently again. 30% of this budget is towards goods and services, so almost 70% of the budget is towards compensation of employees. Now, by any measure, in terms of any standard that we've looked at in various countries, 70% is just a lot. And mainly, if you remember, Che, it was as a result of the wage settlement that we reached, that our personal budget continues to increase in the way that it does. And containing it is a challenge, and that's where the first part last year we thought we should have 25 billion from compensation of employees. Now, quarter one spending, again, you can see various categories there. 24% of our billion budget so far spent, and you can say the target is about 25% because it's a quarter, and you're saying it's 3% less than projected because departments of projected spend on target around 25%. Departments that significantly spend less than projected are COCTA, Sport and Recreation, GPS, Rural Development, Small Business Development, and let me single out GPS, 3%, and Ulrika will explain the reasons thereafter. This is one department that I think at some point must be called because we are at pains to put money aside where they thought they had plans, and they do this quite often. So I think that department should at some point be called to explain some of their programs because I think we need a bit concerned. Departments that spend significantly higher than projected, the presidency and water and sanitation.
For education and electric department, next year. She and committee members, we will, when we do come back the next time, I think Honourable Lowe, she would prefer to also know the actual number, to not only the percent. So, basic education spends 38.1% of the budget, that's 10.1 billion, and the billions in expenses mainly under programs 2 and 4. Program 2 is expenditure on the workbooks that was meant to take place in quarter one is only going to take place in quarter two, but the department said that it's not going to delay the late delivery of workbooks for the 2017 school year. I think they just had some issues with the procurement. In program four is exactly the same as what I said for 2015-16. There is also slow spending due to implementation delays on the school infrastructure backlog grant, that is the CD. Only 176 million was spent against the projected amount of 929 million for the quarter. The problems are all in the Eastern Cape. For committee members who are new, who don't know, about two-thirds of the ACD program budget is being spent in the Eastern Cape. So if you've got a problem in the Eastern Cape, then you've got a problem. Underspending of this grant has been a problem since its inception in 2012, and I think we've recommended that committee also call the department specifically to talk through the delays in the infrastructure spending. In higher education and training, they spent 46.2% of their available budget by the end of the first quarter, that is 22.7 billion. And the variance there is a small amount, and it's similar, I think I've come before this committee before and explained that in terms of the infrastructure grants to universities, there's always a delay because the department relied on the submissions meeting particular criteria, and so when they get the submissions in, they spend a bit of time trying to understand what is happening exactly, and sometimes this process takes longer than anticipated. In the Department of Labor, 26.9% of the available budget was spent, at 766 million rand. And the variances are mainly in Program 1 and 4. Again, when I've come to this committee, these are the issues that we have raised before. Slow spending on computer services due to delays in placing and receiving orders from CETA, the State Information Technology Agency, and then delays in receiving invoices from the Department of Public Works for office accommodation. And then that also had a little bit of poor spending on compensation of employees due to fund vacant positions. And then in Program 4, also some slow spending there due to late foreign payments as a result of delays by DIRCO in providing payment invoices. In fact, the committee will notice as you go through the actual big report, the service departments like DPW are always, they quite often late with the invoicing or property payment from other departments. CETA takes long to procure IDT and computer services, so maybe they should be called in to specifically not explain their other service delivery, but their role as a service provider to other departments. Art and culture, 20.2% of available budget spent so far, that's 824 million. 65.3 million was not spent in Program 3 due to delays in the selection process of an appropriate institution to host the Venture Capital Fund. This Venture Capital Fund is meant to support emerging cultural industries projects. Spending on capital works remains poor, and the department uses public works as the implementing agent, and they've indicated it remains poor due to delays by DPW in implementing projects and submitting invoices for the legacy projects and capital works projects at each institution. So sometimes they're also the implementing agents for infrastructure, which is a different section of DPW from the property payment side. So maybe they should also be called to ask to explain why is it as an implementing agent they are unable to procure the infrastructure services on behalf of departments. What you're concerned about at the National Treasury is because of the delay in the spending on capital work, there's a trend in arts and culture to shift funds from capital projects to augment other programs. And this is going to be likely to continue if DPW does not fast-track implementation and invoicing. So it creates a different incentive inside the department. The last department in my portfolio is sport and recreation. 192 million or 18.7% of available budget has been spent thus far, and the slow spending is mainly Program 2, where the department has withheld control grant transfers to Limpopo and the Northwest, as they have not submitted the required documentation as per the grant framework. I'm also standing in for my colleague with Youth with Health and Social Development. In health, they spent 23.2% of the available budget, or 8.94 billion, spending at least 6.5% and projected under various programs. The biggest one of which is in infrastructure. And one of the issues that my colleague wishes to bring to the attention of the committee is that he believes that health should consider ways to improve general infrastructure planning and coordination. Currently, there is a large number of smaller projects included in the master project list for the National Health Insurance Indirect Grant. And this negatively impacts the department's ability to deliver on the larger projects. And he has a possible recommendation that we want the committee to consider. Consideration should therefore be given to whether the maintenance project should not rather be shifted back to provinces and not be on the national department's part.
In terms of economic services, I think down that slide now, there are four departments that we are concerned about in terms of their spending. It's Small Business Development, Department of Trade and Industry, Department of Tourism, and Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. In terms of Small Business Development, they've spent 23% of the available budget. The variance is mainly because of slow spending on two incentive schemes. There's the National Informal Business Upliftment Scheme, NIBUS, which is aimed at providing support to informal businesses and businesses in townships and to help them increase their capabilities. We gave them quite a lot more funding in the NTEP, I think the department is still coming up to speed with that new allocation that they've got. And then there's the Black Business Supplier Development Program that provides support to any black businesses that want to, it's meant to subsidies for investment in machinery. These incentives, they don't get the applications and they sometimes can't spend as much as they'd like. We're going to obviously just keep on monitoring this. Next slide, please. In terms of trade and industry, they have a similar problem that they're not getting all the applications that they need or the documentation that they need from the applicant. In terms of the main problem is the automotive production development program incentives. In that particular scheme, there already are there are a number of applications, so I don't expect that to have any major underspending. They have a similar problem with the enterprise investment program. With all of these schemes, though, there are a number of incentive programs that DTI has. So in the case where they are not able to spend on one incentive program, they can reallocate within the incentive programs to make sure that the allocation is spent. Tourism, they've spent 36.5% of their available budget, and they've had problems in terms of the EPWP projects and also the infrastructure projects that are being completed. And the last one is rural development and land reform. I think go to the next slide, please. There's been 17.6% of the available budget. This is an issue we have brought to the department, to the committee before, that spending on restitution tends to lag slightly because in the first half of the year the claims are investigated, but then the claims are settled and finalized in the second half of the year. It's been a similar pattern over many years actually. Last year I think they were significantly behind where we thought they should have been, but in the end they just spent the allocation. So obviously in all four cases, we're going to just make sure that we carry on monitoring these departments.
Okay. In land development, we are concerned about four departments. I mean, for the Department of Energy up there, we are concerned for a very different reason, even though they do look at our understanding. Go to the next slide, please. So, I mean, in fact, so given the drought that we've experienced like last year, they were projecting that there would be a significant call on immediate relief grants in the first quarter of this financial year. However, no new disasters have been cleared, so they were planning and they were making provisions to disperse funds, but there were no disasters. And then the second reason why we are seeing some underspending culture is related to the community work program. So this is where they have made provision in the first quarter for X amount of volunteers to participate in the program, but a significantly lower amount of people have come through on that program. In energy, while there's over underspending, or not under project, lower than project expenditure in the first quarter, we are seeing higher than project spending on compensation of employees. And given what the DG was saying early on about cutting personnel budgets, we are concerned that they might project an overspending on compensation of employees this year. In the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services, so this department spent 40% of its total budget in the first quarter, and this is largely due to a 650 million rand one-off recapitalization for the post office. This department is also one of the serial underspenders, and this is because of basically two programs, and there's complications within the governance structures of these programs. It's related to the set-top box program and broadband. Spending in the first quarter, or lower than expected spending in the first quarter, is largely related to the set-top box program. So this is USASA, who is the implementing agent, who hasn't provided full reports on how they have spent previous transfers, and the department then withheld money. And then, of course, going forward, the continuous litigation of the set-top box technology means that production has halted until they have greater certainty on what the future should look like. And as a result of that, we have been underspending there. In the Department of Water and Sanitation, we're not really concerned about this just because of how the infrastructure programs roll out. So we do have higher than projected expenditure in the first quarter, and this is largely related to indirect grants in the budget and transfer to the water trading entities as for invoices that they had received late from the previous year that they had paid now.
Honourable members and citizens, we have highlighted five departments where the spending was higher than projected. Next slide, please. On the presidency, the expenditure was 6.3% higher, which is 7.2 million. It relates to invoices that were received late, and it's mainly interdepartmental claims from other departments. For instance, ERCO that done work on behalf of the presidency but didn't submit the invoices in time. With the Home Affairs, the spending was 3% more. I don't have the amount, you know. There's basically two main reasons for that. The expenditure related to the advanced passenger processing project, where the exchange rate was higher than the budgeted rate, and they spent more in terms of the monthly or quarterly cost to CETA. The other reason is also the local government election transfers to the IEC that was higher than expected. Due to the date of the elections being changed, there was unexpected costs in terms of contracting what was outsourced services. And public works, there was a 2.1% higher expenditure, and it also relates to the property management trading entity. So the property management trading entity doesn't have their own financial system, so the expenses is processed with the department, and that's why they increase in the expenditure for the department. On national treasury, the next slide, there was an overspending of $175 million when it relates to the projected spending. It arises mostly from the IFMS project. There was a new contract that was concluded relating to the software licenses. This was not the planned expenditure. It's been paid in two parts, and it's also being paid from savings being realized in the National Treasury. On the DPSA, there was overspending mainly administration and service delivery support. So there's two reasons for that. The one is mainly the expenditure in the ministry that was not planned for, and also in terms of the open government partnership project, the engine vetoes by the minister and deputy minister. And my main cost driver here was traveling subsistence venues and facilities. That led to the overspending in the first quarter.
Thanks. In the second quick last stuff, let me start with the department that are on deck, which is police and justice. And we've got two departments which are ahead of schedule, which is the Department of Defense, DOD, and DCS. Normally, we find that there are overlaps between quarter four expenditure and quarter one. For example, in the case of DCS, there were some invoices which were not settled in quarter 4, 2015-16, and they were settled in the current financial year. It talks to infant services and accommodation charges. And then in defense, with respect to the housing benefit, as a result of the agreement, which increased the housing benefit from 900 to 1,200. And then we've got smaller votes, which is IPAD and OCJ, Office of the Chief Justice, which are lagging behind, mainly on good service and competence of employees. That's in the set of all the deputy departments. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I think this is the end of our presentation. I just want to bring your attention to slide 31 on the screen now about DPSA. In terms of what is saying in the second bullet there that says some of these were unplanned spending participation programs. I think it's important, as much as government has to do some of these things, but the discipline that we emphasize to departments and to all departments, not only DPSA, but as a classic example, is that if you buy vehicles as an example that you didn't budget for, then the discipline in the system is lacking. And we thought maybe I want to take this up so that the committee, you know, can help us put discipline in spending and budgets and plans in place, because it means if they didn't budget for these public participation programs and these vehicles and some of these things that the government is doing, if you replicate it across government, some other key programs are not done because of these unbudgeted programs. So the problem is just listening to the committee that's important to put discipline in the finance management of all government departments. Thank you. About 25%. You know, if you look at the treasury, for instance, the treasury vote, they spend far more than that by about 100%. And the example
there should be a clear reason as to why you overspending in a committee fund, because if you are going to remain within the year, you're not worried. The challenge here we have raised to the committee is that from cash management point of view, if we project that you are going to spend 25%, and remember we borrow the cash in order for it to be available, if you underspend by huge margins, 6, 7, 5%, it becomes a problem, because it means there's more cash in the system, in our bank account, and we pay interest on it. So that's where our worry comes. That if you're spending, say, 16.9% of your budget, it means you may as well go and borrow cash to borrow it in the market when you don't need it, lying in our account, and we're paying interest on it. So that's always a challenge. But again, the drawings that we send to departments, the scheduled drawings for the quarter, for the year, how and when we transfer money. So if we find that after a quarter, there's underspending in terms of what you projected, then we don't become very kind departments, because they made us incur unnecessary costs, which, or increase our debt service burden as a matter of financial year. Because one of our mandates is to try and keep it as low as possible in terms of how much the interest you're paying on debt on an annual basis.
To this briefing by the National Treasury. Now the ball is in your hands now. For clarity seeking. Oh, I'm reminded that it's going to 12. But let's just enter in clarity seeking session. Honorable member, speak, and then honorable member Low. Honorable member. Okay, honorable member Shaikh Imam. As long as you promise that you'll be short and to the point, and then yes, you may come in.
Thanks. I'll be very brief. Two questions. The erratic expenditure, which was just mentioned by Mr. Mogozani. Now, you indicated that there are costs that might be associated with the volume of money which might not be necessary. Who bears that cost? Is it National Treasury, or is that cost carried to the department? And then the second question is that, has there been any positive impact as a result of the establishment of the Office of the Procurement Officer? Because I don't see anything included in the indicated in here. Thank you.
Thank you for your intervention. Next, Honorable Member Low.
Thanks, Chair. No, mine is just a proposal for the percentages I asked earlier on. If I can have that sooner, because I know I've seen on the program that we will have departments soon. So I'd like to have those amounts of percentages in the presentation, please, by the end of this week, if possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member Shaikh.
Thank you, Chair. Just two quick questions. One is, I'm trying to understand the rationale behind wanting to borrow to live in debt all the time. What is the need that we have to create for a deficit? Why do we need to borrow? And the high interest rate, yeah, we find that often it's not even used. That's the one. And the second thing is, if you could just give us an idea, what is our current debt and what is the current interest rate at this point? Thank you.
Are we done? Are you done, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. From my side, if you can just give clarity on putting it down on the accruals. Because I see some departments have overspent on their projected budget, particularly because of accruals. What's your take on accruals? Was to me, actually, something that is supposed not to be accepted. It's unacceptable. Because you see, now they're using the money for this financial year's activities to fund previous financial year's activities. So if you could also elaborate on that. And the other one, now, what is surprising also this morning is, now, National Treasury also going beyond their projected budget by 3 point something percent. And that one actually is not supposed to be collaborated, because we need to learn more from you. Because you are to, now if you overspend, then it's a problem. It's a problem. Because from you we should learn that we should not spend money that we don't have.
So you spend money you don't have, because it's definitely going to have an impact on your overall budget at the end of the financial year. So if you can explain that and in case you can desist from doing that. No, cannot be accepted.
Thank you very much. Then you take the last question. And Lydia, can I ask you just to take a two of one? Our debt to GDP ratio now, our GDP is about 3 trillion. Our debt to GDP is around 46% currently, for now we're taking on. So we are training into that. It's about what, 3 trillion? Yeah. Take the actual number there. It's about 3 trillion. What is owed? This number. Sorry, one and a half trillion. Yes, sorry. So that, yes. About 1.5 trillion. That's what we owe people out there. And the rest now to borrow, it's very difficult sometimes because the tax revenue, the debt to GDP ratio, and just the performance of the economy is not what it should be. You might be aware or remember that the recent estimates, we thought by the time we presented the budget at the beginning of the year, we said we will grow at 0.9%. The IMF came and said, no, in the last few 2 months, we said we will grow at 0.1 in terms of production. When we are still trying to recover from the estimates by the IMF, our own reserve bank said, no, we think you will not grow at all. We'll grow at 0.0%. So our new estimates will be coming through in September. So the economy is not doing well for various reasons. Reasons, most of which are outside our control, global economic sectors are facing us. That has got direct impact on the debt, on the revenue that we receive. And that would, in a way, have an impact in terms of whether we should borrow or not to finance some of our government spending, or the 139 billion, as I indicated in the first slide. The other question is, I suggest through you, Chair, that we have a session, I think we proposed this, and I think the CPO did come for, but we have a session with the office of the CPO. There's quite a lot that they are doing. There's quite a lot of benefits we experience in the system around the automation that they've introduced. And I would say, because if we have to talk about the positive impact, I think they are a better place to actually set a specific session for them to come and brief the committee. Honorable, we will certainly do that. I've noticed that here we see 139. So make sure that you update this presentation and actually send it through as requested. Okay, any other?
I think Bendani can explain the rules that he's talking about here. But generally speaking, ma'am, if the services were rendered, like property payments, but the invoices never arrived on time to be able to be paid in the previous financial year. We have that problem all the time of when do you invoice and when do you get paid. And because we run on a cash system, you can't, normally you would accrue that and then pay it in the year that it was, the service was rendered. So that is what I've said for my two departments. So I think you understand the accruals in terms of the provincial stuff, which is quite different. Yeah, different, yeah. So that our Bendani has maybe he's got the accruals in the sense that you understand it. But the one they by me around EPW is the invoices only come later than the services were delivered in the previous financial year. So municipal charges are for all 12 months and you pay them after the fact. So you're always paying the last month in the new financial year because it only comes at the end of that month.
Is the same explanation. Also with the GDS, it's been sponsored with accommodation charges within services rendered by DGDL. So it's the same explanation by the colleague, Julia.
What we managed to do over the years for national departments, we are able to sort the problem out of accruals. For 10 years ago, it was a big problem. But I think in the last year, we have managed to put some people in the system that come financially, very few invoices will be in the drawer. Officials. So we don't experience it as a big problem. That's why I think more slides, we don't give them up as a big issue because we're able to deal with them.
I take note of the comments by the chairperson. I think the the payment or the conclusion of the contract was considered by the National Treasury. And I think the motivation there is mainly the National Treasury could derive considerable saving in concluding the contract and paid over 1 year. It would have paid it over a longer period according to what's available in the baseline. We wouldn't have realized the saving. So I think in the end, this contract and concluding the contract in a shorter time realized high savings, and that was the principle that the National Treasury considered. The IFMS project is a large project, and it also relates to a system that's going to be implemented across governments in all departments. And I think it's been going on over the past, I think, more than 10 years. And I think now National Treasury wants to ensure that there's progress on the project. And I think with conclusion of this contract for the licenses and then for the business solution for the IFMS project, they are actually, the benefits is huge for the project, progress on the project, and also in terms of the financial benefits.
On your response on the saving, I still feel that there's something that is not right there. Because you can't put saving above compliance. There is law in place, and all of us have to balance our settlements with the compliance. So indeed, we can't emphasize you on the country. We really insist on you complying and leading by example. So that when you talk, you talk with authority and you have the influence that you need it. So in this case, actually, you have to reconsider and look at an affordable way of dealing with this matter. Affordable. When you run the SMS, affordability becomes key. It must be an affordable service. You can't render service and spend money you don't have. Those will be contradicting yourself.
Yes, I thank you very much. This is what you think is very important. In our own, holding the Treasury accountable on this one, when the CFO and the National Treasury DG appeared before us, that's exactly the same questions and issues, and we approach it the same way. In fact, what I promised the office, I mean the committee, is that maybe when we come back to you, either for the second quarter, we have to maybe spend a few minutes up front and explain, and we'll even ask the DG of the National Treasury to be there, because this is important by leading by example. Because it's an example, if we are not careful, this is an issue that can just make financial management be thrown out of the window completely. But we take your point.
Okay. Honorable Manana, I think you wanted to come in. And we
left with 5 minutes. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine is a point of clarity. On page 30, where we're talking about home affairs, we have indicated that they are 3% more that projected the expenditure. And then while we are still explaining that, you indicated of the date of the election. Can you clarify that? Because I didn't understand it. What do you want to say? And the other one is with regards to the DPSA, where the DGG was talking about the unplanned spending of public participation programs. I wanted to find out whether these programs were not part of their ADP, whether maybe in the first, in the second quarter or third quarter, or they just decided to do it on the first quarter without any plan.
The local government elections date was originally in May, and it was extended from May to August. So all the contracts for outsourced services related to the elections was concluded up to May. And due to the date being changed to August, they had to extend the contracts, which led to additional expenditure on the local government elections, and that explains you about the unforeseen adjustment by the process. I think the budgeting it isn't the APP, but the budgeting for that was much lower than what was actually realized. So I think there was just a difference between the amount budgeted for and the amount that was being claimed, but it was in the APP.
That have been appropriated funds. Shall we request you maybe to just make a submission of an analysis of those public entities, the expenditure, and we are also more interested in the cost attainment measures. So if you can give that one just as a report for the, for our own information.
Then can I just check with you all 350 public entities, or do you have specific ones in mind? No, I in other words, you get a report that size any museum, or do you want big things like the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, PRASTA?
You know, I'm sure you will help us to prioritize.
Okay.
Yeah. From your analysis, you will be able to increase and listen and warrant attention, and then give us the report so that we can use that report as a measure to, so that they just stick to measure their performance. All right, we really have come to the end of our engagement, and I must thank the department for the information that they have provided us, and I must also thank the members for engaging and interrogating the survey. What is key that came up out from our engagement is that members showed a zero tolerance for under expenditure on CAPEX, but also they've shown a zero tolerance for under expenditure on job creation programs, and the department that understands consistently, we as a committee will make sure that we call them to come and account, and your briefing is going to assist us there, you know, by reflecting on those departments that indeed need attention by the committee. And indeed, it cannot be business as usual if we want to radically transform the country. The committee remains very concerned with the high vacancy rates in many departments, e.g. communications departments. Sure, the vacancy rate is abnormally high. This will affect the attainment of the targets of the APP and the structures. Remember, at the end of the year, we want them to be able to achieve all their targets. So without the personnel, we think this can impact negatively on their performance, on the achievements of those targets. In summary, we really see National Treasury as partners in ensuring that all departments and entities spend their budgets. We will also call on AXA and the DPME, as you proposed, sir, to assist us on verifying the impact on the ground of the budget. Let us use this information to help us engage wisely with these departments. Thank you very much. Our meeting stands adjourned. If you look at, to the honorable members, if you look at your program, the minutes, I think we can still declare the minutes to tomorrow, because we have a meeting tomorrow. And we will invite Treasury, representative of Treasury in those meetings, because I had the meeting with the department. Yeah.
Thank you.